Caterpillar. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see y'all here. It's good to be able to do this. I meant to get this thing going before, and I was picking on the kids instead of getting it ready. So, okay. Remember to pray for one another. Be praying for another prayer request list and things that were that prayer request list went out. So I appreciate that being sent out, and that we can remember those that we were praying for. Those pray for our government, our leaders, our president, and for one another. But just a lot going on in our lives and in our church right now. But I'm glad that we can have this technology to be able to do this. I really appreciate that. I thank you, Jordan, for being willing to get all this set up. He's been working on that. We think we got a little bit better today. And so, but if you will, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalms chapter 147. Psalms 147. We're going to continue here in this psalm. We made it down through verse 7 last week. So what we're going to do this morning is I want to start in verse 1 and just read from verse 1 in Psalms 147. So Psalms 147, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem and gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, and casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heavens with clouds, and prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask his blessings on the services this morning. And remember to pray for one another as we're going in prayer. I know that we're not all gathered together here, but as I pray, you that are at home ought to bow your heads and pray with me in your minds, and pray to the Lord and ask his blessings on the message this morning, Lord, on the message this morning, and also on pray for one another. And those are on our prayer request list. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity given to us, we can be here, Lord, that we can come together, we can worship you. And Lord, just help us in this time, Lord, to take the thoughts of this world and all the drama and everything going on in the world today, Lord, that the unknowns, Lord, just take all those things out of our hearts, out of our minds, just for a little bit today, Lord, and help us to truly worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you are, and Lord, and just what you've done for us, what you do for us, Lord, on a daily basis. Lord, we thank you most of all for salvation. Lord, we just pray that you would save someone here today that's listening, that's lost. Lord, and just help us be witness to them as you ought to be, Lord. Not just in what we say, but in our lifestyle and our actions and things we do in places we go and things we won't do in places we won't go, Lord, that we know that's a witness to them as well. And Lord, we just ask you to open my mouth and close my mouth today as you see fit. Help me to say what you put on my heart, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord, and just be with your word today as it goes out, Lord. Cause it not to return void. Think of all you've done. Be with those in a prayer request list, Lord, and just help us, Lord, to be a help to those that we can be. Think of all you've done. Just name, pray, and ask these things. Amen. So here we made it down to verse 8. So in verse 7, he says, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God." And we talked about that last week, that we do need to be thankful. We have so many things that we can be thankful for in our lives that a lot of times we take for granted those things. And we can be thankful. Why is it that we ought to be thankful? He tells us here in verse 8, who we're being thankful to, who we're serving, who we're following. He says in verse 8, who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. You just let some of these verses sink into you, and you'll begin to see that we're thankful, and we follow, and we serve, and we sing praises. To who? To God. And it says there, who covereth the heaven with clouds, and who prepareth rain for the earth. I remember in school that we took science class, and they taught us how the clouds are formed. There's different types of clouds, and you learn about all that. Different types of clouds mean different things, and you know how the rain gets into clouds. It evaporates from the earth, from the water, and the sun comes out and heats up the water and evaporates the water, and the water goes up, and it cools down the clouds and attaches to the cloud. When it gets full, it rains. That's what science says. But the thing is, the Lord's the one that causes it to rain. He's the one that puts the clouds in the skies. He prepareth the rain for the earth. And then you look at this. He says, who maketh the grass to grow upon the mountains. He is in such control of it all. The God that we serve, the one that we sing praises to, the one that we sing with thanksgiving in our heart to, is the one that controls the clouds and the rain and the growing of the grass. He causes the grass to grow on mountains. I think that is just a fantastic thing, because it's where men don't plant grass. That's where grass grows. That's where it grows at. He causes it to grow there. In verse 9, he says, who giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He gives to the beast his food, the animal. The animals out in the wild that look for food, he provides food for them. He does this, and he gives food to the ravens, to the birds which cry for food. God provides them with food. The one that we serve, the one that he tells us in verse 1, praise ye the Lord. The God that we serve, the God that we are to be praising our life to. I don't know if I said that right, but our life should give praise to the Lord, the one that feeds the animals, the one that feeds the ravens. You look at this in Matthew chapter 6. Keep your place here in Psalms. We'll be coming back here, but turn to Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar scripture, but very fitting right here, I believe. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Matthew 6, 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. That's what he says there in Psalms, that he feeds the ravens which cry. And he says it here in Matthew, are you not much more than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, like the grass, the flowers, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, because we know this, because that word therefore is there for a reason, because we know, we see that God, he takes care of the beasts of the field. He takes care of the raven that cry. The birds don't stock up. They don't have little barns that they're putting food in. But yet he provides for them. All year long he provides for them. And he said he's going to provide for them, and you're more than they are. He says, therefore, take no thought or don't worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the world. That's the world seeks after these things. He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first. First and foremost, what we ought to seek is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Look, why does he say not to worry about tomorrow? He says, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. We can't get figured out tomorrow yet anyway. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. All we have is right now today. And he says, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. And he doesn't mean to not be concerned about it. He doesn't mean not to prepare. He doesn't mean any of that. He doesn't mean to just sit down and do nothing and say, I don't have to work because God's going to provide for me. That's not what he means. What he means is don't trust in what you're doing. First, you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says that I'll provide all that for you. I'll provide everything you need. He says the world goes out and they look for these things. They hunt for these things. They try and gain these things. But all they have is these things, and we have so much more to be thankful for, so much more that the Lord gives us. He provides for us. Look, we need to remember, this world is not our home. We ought to be praising the Lord and thankful to him every day, every morning that we wake up, that he's given us another day, that we can serve him, that we can grow more in him every day. Now, if you will, look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. It's a little different. It's worded a little different here. We're just going to read a couple verses here in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Luke 12, verses 6 and 7. He says, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. The Lord, Christ, is telling the people here, five sparrows are sold for just a little bit. And he says, and not one of them is forgotten before the Lord. The Lord remembers every sparrow that falls, every little bird that falls. God knows. He knows every one of them. He remembers. Not one is forgotten. And then he says, are you not more than many sparrow? Let's read that. I'm going to get it messed up. He says, and not one of them is forgotten before the Lord, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Think about this. He remembers the sparrows that fall. But you know what he didn't say about the sparrow that he said about us? Did you know? He has every hair on your head numbered. He knows how many hairs are on your head. Now, I know y'all are probably looking at me thinking, yeah, not a very big number. Some of you don't have very big numbers either up there. But that's okay, because God still knows how many hairs are on our head. But understand this. He did not say he knows how many feathers are on the sparrow, did he? That's not what he said. He said he doesn't forget the sparrow, but he cares so much about us, you and me, that what does he do? He knows every bit about everything there is to know about us, even how many hairs are on our head. They're all numbered. That just amazes me that he cares so much for me that he would pay that close attention to me. But he does. Look back in Psalms chapter 147. Psalms 147. So we talked about verse 8, how that he, or verse 9, he giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He takes care of the animals. Why is it that we ought to be thankful? Because if he takes care of the animals that he did not come and die for, he's going to take care of you and me. He's going to. We do not have to worry about that. We don't have to question that. We just know that he's going to, because he has. And he will. And look at verse 10. He says, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. Say, a horse, I don't know how many of you have ridden a horse. But a horse is it's very strong. It's a very strong animal. The horse, you think about this. Our cars, how are the motors rated? Horsepower, right? Horsepower. You buy a lawnmower, how's that motor rated? Horsepower. You buy a garage door opener. How is that electric motor rated? Horsepower. Our whole basis of power, a lot of times, is rated around horsepower. But yet, God says, He says that He doesn't delight in the power of the horse. Why? I mean, the horsepower is our main value for power, is a horse. But He doesn't delight in the horse. Keep your place here in Psalms, and I'm going to turn over to Proverbs chapter 21. You can turn with me or you can stay there. Proverbs 21, verse 31 says, "The horse is prepared against a day of battle." The horse has been known as a battle animal, one that will go into battle, been trained to go into battle and stand while the soldier fought. But you look at this. The last part of that verse says, "But safety is of the Lord." But the horse is not. It's not what the Lord delights in. And it makes sense that the Lord does not delight in the power of the horse. Why? God created the horse. He created the power that the horse has. He doesn't delight in the horse, in the power of the horse. He also says He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. In the legs of a man. Why the legs of a man? Because your legs are the strongest muscle on your body. It is what carry you around all the time. Whenever we lived in Louisiana, and we had physical education, PE, we took one quarter, we had to lift weights. And so we was up there lifting weights, and I was always small. Not muscular, but I was always small. But I rode a bike everywhere I went. I ran everywhere I went. I walked everywhere I went. I mean, I didn't have a car then, so I had to, you know. But one of those weights we could lift up was a leg press. You sit down in a seat, and you push your seat back, and it lifts the weights up. So we was all going around seeing how much we could do, and the guy doing it wasn't letting anybody know how much they were lifting up. He was just standing in front of it so you couldn't see the weights. And so we would go around and get more and more and more and more. And when we got all done, I couldn't believe how much weight I was pushing up. I was maxing the machine out at 550 pounds with my legs. Now, my arms, I could barely lift up 120 pounds. But with my legs, I could lift up everything that machine had on it for the leg press. But the legs are your strongest muscle. That's why He says here, the Lord doesn't take pleasure in the legs of a man. In the power that a man has, the Lord says, I don't delight in that. Why? He created us. It's not impressive to Him. Our power is not impressive to the Lord. But look at this next verse. This next verse just, it amazes me. It says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy." What amazes me about this, says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them." The Lord taketh pleasure. Let that sink in just a little bit. Take a minute to think about that. The Lord taketh pleasure in them. Have you ever seen who God is? Have you ever really seen who God is? That if you've seen who God is, you've realized it in your life, and you've seen in His Word who He is. I think this here would almost take your breath away. Is because He says here, the Lord taketh pleasure in them. He's going to tell us who He takes pleasure in. That just blows me away. Because when I read this and I think about the Lord God takes pleasure in them, I think about, this is what I think about. I think about that. Well, before I get into that, let's turn to Genesis. I want to show you something. Turn to Genesis. Keep your place there in Psalms if you hadn't already lost it. But in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the God that we're talking about in Psalms chapter 147 is the God that takes pleasure in them. He's going to tell us who later in that verse. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Let that sink in. What God are we talking about in Psalms 147 that takes pleasure in us is the God that created this world. That's the God. And then look in verse 9. He says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so." Did you catch that? Did you catch that? "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." This verse just amazes me. And maybe it amazes me a little bit more because I was a plumber for a few years, 20 years or so. Water, you can do everything you want to with water. But there's times it seems like water fights back. I learned how to pump water to certain places and drain water away from places, but still there was times that it just went where it wanted to go. But the Lord said, let the water move, and the water moved. He said. You know, I never once walked into a building and said, let there be plumbing, and there was plumbing. You know why? It wouldn't work. I don't have that power. I'm not able to do that. But the God that we serve, the God that we follow, the God that we, that takes pleasure in us, is the God that created this world. You know, you think about this. Before all this coronavirus, we were planning, my family was planning on taking a trip to Missouri. We had it all planned. We had when we were going to leave, when we were going to come home. We had it all set. We had a place. Everybody down there knew we were coming. Everything was done. You know, when we get in a car, we get in that van up here, and we leave, if you drive straight through, it's about 10 hours to drive straight through. But with seven people, you ain't driving straight through. With my back, I'm not driving straight through. So it takes us anywhere between 12 to 14 hours to go from here to there, okay? Now, I see this and I think about this, that the God that says in Psalms 147 that he taketh pleasure in them. He created this world. He spoke it into existence. And it takes us 12 to 14 hours to go through a few states that he spoke into existence. Just, and yet he takes pleasure in us. I've done some figuring. Well, I didn't do any figuring. I looked this stuff up and I made sure it was right. I tried to make sure it was right. That if you could drive around the planet, I'm talking just driving from Michigan to Missouri, taking 12 to 14 hours, okay? That's what I'm talking. But if you could start on the equator in one place and drive all the way around the world, I know you can't, you know, the oceans have something to do with that, but if you could, the miles around that, then if you drove 60 miles an hour, let's see where I put that at, then it would take you 17.2 days non-stops to drive all the way around this world. 17.2 days. It takes us all day to drive from Michigan to Missouri. You're talking 17.2 days if you're driving 60 miles an hour. Now, I put this in here because I was thinking about it. If you drive like some people I see on the highways around here, you could do it in 12.9. That's 80 miles an hour. But then there's people around here that can do it faster than that. But you think about this. The God that spoke this world into existence What does he say? What does he say in Psalms 147? In Psalms 147, verse 11, says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them." That should almost take your breath away, that there's the Lord takes pleasure in you. Why? Why? Who does he take pleasure in? He says, "Them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." So what I want to do, I want to look up some places. I looked up the words, fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord in different references. We're going to turn to some of these. Just so you know, I kept the references in Proverbs because that's where most of the fear of the Lord is talked about. And then we'll look at some other places here in a little bit. But in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, I'm going to go through these kind of quickly because I want to get on here. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." In Proverbs 8, verse 13, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." In Proverbs chapter 10 verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." In Proverbs chapter 14 verse 26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." In verse 27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16 says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." In Proverbs 15, verse 33, says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, the last one we're going to look at, Proverbs 19:23. Says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." You think about this, what this is saying. All these verses, you put them all together and you look up the fear of the Lord and what it says about it. It says, and notice that the fear of the Lord brings us to knowledge and wisdom. It prolongs our days, gives instruction of wisdom. We find confidence through the fear of the Lord. And we are not, and we are able to depart from evil. Basically, what these verses are telling us, when we fear the Lord, we're getting closer and closer to him. We're drawing closer to him. Why is it that the Lord finds pleasure in those that fear him? Because you have a respect for him, a reverence for the Lord. You're learning more about him. You're drawing closer to him. Look, you're either going to grow more as a Christian or more worldly. That's it. There is no staying the same. There's not. Your muscles in your body, if you stopped using your arm for a week, it would get weaker. It's just the way it is. The muscles, your body, your spiritual life, you either have to be growing or you're shrinking. One or the other, you're not going to be staying the same. How is it then that we fear the Lord? How do we do that? Is that something that we muster up in ourselves? How do we fear the Lord? You know, and what I try and do when I study and I write notes and I ask myself questions as I'm reading these things, well, how do we do that? How do I do that? I ask the Lord to show me, how do I fear the Lord? How do I teach my children to fear the Lord? How do I show them? How do I help the church to fear the Lord? How do I help those that I come in contact with to fear the Lord? How do I make sure that I am fearing the Lord the way I ought to? So we're going to look at some other verses here also. Look, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. We're going to read verses 12 and 13. It says, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear." Now listen to this. "And that they may learn the fear of the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it." Here, if you read this chapter, you'll see here that Moses is at the end of his life, and he is commanding the people that every few years, every 7 years or so, during the Feast of the Tabernacle, that they're to gather the people together, the men, the women, the children, and all the strangers that are within their gates. They're to gather them all together. And what are they to do? They're to read the Word of God. They're to read the law. Why? Why are they to do this? They're to read it so that they can, and he said, so that they can learn to fear the Lord. You want to fear the Lord? You want to have these blessings that we read in the verses in Proverbs that show us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want wisdom and knowledge. You want confidence in the Lord. Do you want these things? Do you want the blessings that come from serving the Lord? Then you need to learn how to fear the Lord. You need to learn how. And how do we learn how to fear the Lord? It's by reading His Word. That's why I tell you that you need to read. Every day we need to read. You need to have a reading plan. And it's not necessarily you read through the Bible every year, but you need to have something that you're reading every day in His Word and learning from it and gleaning from it. You need that. Why? So you can learn how to fear the Lord. Look in 2 Kings chapter 17. I struggled with this verse. I started not to put it in here. I took it out, and I didn't like taking it out. It bothered me taking it out, so I put it back in, and I was like, I don't know. I prayed about it. I struggled with it, but we're going to go over it. We're going to go over it because I think it needs to be gone over. In 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 28, we're going to read this one verse. I might read some more, but we're going to, verse 28, says that one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Now, if you read that one verse right there, you'd be like, wow, okay, that's pretty neat. They taught them how to fear the Lord. But if you go back and you read the chapter, you'll find out what's happening in this place. That a king came and took the children of Israel captive, took them out, and then he sent some of his people back to live there. And when they came in, they were doing their own thing with their gods, and God sent lions and started killing them. And so they called the king up, and they're like, hey, well, they didn't call the king up. They sent word to him. They didn't have phones back then, I guess, but they sent word to the king, and the king is like, okay, well, and they told the king, they said, look, we don't know this God, and we made this God mad. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But we made this God mad, and he sent lions among us. He's killing us. So the king got one of the priests that he had taken away from there and sent him back, he said, so that they can show the people that's there how to fear the Lord. So what does he mean? What does it mean how to fear the Lord? How to have respect? Basically, to not get hurt. That's what he's teaching them how to do. So they did these things, but I want you to see some things here. In verse 24 and verse 25. Yeah, verses 24 and 25. Says, and the king of Assyria brought men, okay, this is why I'm telling you, brought men of Babylon and from I'm going to try to say these names. Juta, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. So that's what happened. And he was killing them. But you look at this. The priest went down there. The priest didn't teach them how to serve the Lord. Are you seeing there's something there? Coming to church, watching a broadcast, going through the motions. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough to talk the right talk, to walk the right walk. It's not enough. It's not enough to... It's not enough to know what to do. It's not enough just to do enough to not get in trouble. It's not enough. These people here were taught how to fear the Lord, which what that word means there is to respect. They were taught how not to die. They were taught not how to not upset the Lord, how to not disgrace the Lord. But they weren't taught about God. But look, a very familiar scripture. Look in Joshua 24. You know this verse. We know this verse very well, right? Joshua 24 and verse 14. Joshua 24 and verse 14. Now, listen, I read that 2 Kings before this one for a purpose. Because I wanted you to see that the people there were taught how to fear the Lord. They were taught to fear the Lord. But then here in Joshua 24:14, it says, "Now therefore," Joshua is talking to the children of Israel. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." We are not only to fear the Lord, but there's some things we're to be doing. We are to serve him in sincerity, which is not what we talked about that a while back, which is not about what the world says sincerity is. It's pureness. Holy pureness. Not our pureness, God's pureness. In the pure truth. And then he goes on and says, "And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." You want the blessings that the Bible talked about in Proverbs. If you fear the Lord, it's the beginning of knowledge. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the fear of the Lord, you shall have great confidence in the Lord. You want those things. You want those blessings. Then you need to, one, fear the Lord. Learn how to fear the Lord by reading his word. And two, serve him in sincerity and in truth. His truth, not your truth, not what you think is truth, but what God's word says is truth. You serve him in that. And thirdly, you turn. You repent of your wicked ways. You do not serve those other things. We say, "Well, we don't have other gods in our lives. We don't have those things." You know what? Gods come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. They really do. Because sometimes they're bank accounts. Sometimes they're cars. Sometimes they're houses. Sometimes they're jobs. There are all kinds of things that we can have, that we worship, that we serve. As a plumber, I plumbed and I plumbed custom homes, custom houses, humongous houses, huge, I mean, 16,000 square foot and up houses, that in these massive subdivisions that people would, they're all about getting in this subdivision. They've worked for years and years to get in this subdivision. And they build this massive house. And it's beautiful. But I've had to go back on service calls to those houses, and it's the saddest thing I think I've ever seen. Have you ever seen a child, when you look in their eyes, that they don't know love? Have you ever seen that? That is... You look in a child's eyes that doesn't know love, and their eyes are just empty. There's not anything there. That's the way I saw in these people's houses. their children. The parents, they worked all day long. Both of them worked. Why? To afford this massive house and this prestige subdivision for what? To lose their children? Their child knew that they loved their jobs and the subdivision and the house more than them. I would literally go in these houses, and they would have blankets and sheets on the wall, on the windows, because they couldn't afford curtains. They would have old ratty furniture because they couldn't afford new furniture because they paid everything they could get to get in this fancy subdivision. Look, gods are all around us. They are. They're what you put above the Lord Jesus Christ. What you put above the Creator, our Heavenly Father. It can be any God. You want the fear of God? You want the blessings that come from fearing the Lord? Then you need to turn from all those other ones, and you need to truly serve Him. Very quickly here, let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17. I went the wrong way. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 19. He says here, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law and these statutes to do them." Now, what is this talking about? You can go back up to verse 14 or so, and you can start reading that God is telling the Israelites, look, when you have a king, you have a leader that comes over you, what he's to do is he is to make his own copy with his own hand what the priests follow, the law. He is to write that out for himself, and then in verse 19 he says, "And it will be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life." When does he stop reading? When he stops breathing. That's when he stops reading. When do you stop reading God's word? When you get old and retired? No. No. When you got it all together? No. You stop reading when you stop breathing. That's when you stop reading. What is the purpose for the king doing this, for the leader doing this? He says, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. How else are you going to learn how to serve the Lord? How else are you going to learn to live the way God wants you to live unless you know what His Bible says? You're not going to know. Look, coming to church is wonderful. It's a great thing to do. We ought to. But you understand it's not enough. Do you understand it's not enough? It's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough. It's not enough to know what to do. You have to do what you're supposed to do. In the last verse we're going to read this morning, turn, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14. Samuel is talking to the children of Israel here. When they have chosen a king, they've said they want a king, like every other nation has a king, is what they want. And the Lord told Samuel to tell them in verse 14, "If ye will fear the Lord and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord." So we have some things here. He says, if ye will fear the Lord, if you listen to this today, if you that are hearing this, if you will fear the Lord and serve him, follow him, and he says, and obey his voice, obey what's in God's word. Says, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. You won't rebel against the word of God. You won't want to do it your way. You'll give up yourself to the Lord. You'll follow him. There's some benefits here. He says, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you, continue following the Lord your God. Whoa. Do you want the Lord to bless our nation? Do you want the Lord to help our president to follow him and serve him? You know what you got to do? You need to fear the Lord and serve him. You want this nation to be blessed? Look, this nation is not going to be blessed because the worldly, the ungodly, turn from their ungodly ways. This nation is going to be blessed when we, the Lord's people, turn from our ungodly ways. And we serve him and we follow him. Look at verse 15. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Which do you want? Look at verse 24 and verse 25. It says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Think about all the great things the Lord has done for us. He created this world. He spoke it into existence. And yet there in Psalms 147, we read how that he cares about the brokenhearted. He cares when your heart is broken. He binds up your wounds. And he takes pleasure in them that fear him. That's who he, think about all he's done for us. He saved us. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. It tells us there in verse 24 that if we would fear him and serve him in truth with all of our heart, he'll take care of us. But, in verse 25, but if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. What do you want for your lives? What do you want? I know what I want. I want the Lord to bless my family, this church, our nation. That's what I want. So what do I have to do? I have to fear the Lord and serve him. That's what I need to do. So I know we're out of time here now, and it still goes by very fast, but there in Psalms 147, I'm going to turn back there real quick. Psalms 147. I said real quick, and I can't find it. And verse 11 says, he taketh pleasure in them that fear him. So Lord willing, next week, we will get into those that hope in his mercy. We're going to look into that and see those that hope in his mercy. His mercy, the Bible says, endureth forever and ever. We fear the Lord. We have reverence. We have respect for him. We have a love and a care for him. Have you truly seen who God is? If you haven't, I want you to read. I want you to go back over this and look at these verses. Look at these scriptures that we read about the fear of the Lord. Begin to learn who God is, what God has done for us. Think about that he created this world. And then he sent his son to die on the cross for you and for me, so that we would have a way of salvation. If you're here today and you're lost, if you hear this and you're lost, and you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. I appreciate your attention. And remember to pray for one another. Pray for those on our prayer request list. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for your word, Lord, you've given to us and all that you've done for us, Lord. And we thank you that you've